Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Going to apologize off the jump here. My throat's a little scratchy. I've had the flu going around my house or some cold. My kids brought home, and they've coughed all over me for like 6 days. They're all feeling fine and back at school, and here I am not feeling so great. So we're going to work through it. We're gonna give it a go. I'll get through it all. But apologize in advance for any of the any screechiness. Might sound like a 10-year-old, something like that. But we're going to work through it. All right. So some stuff here. We're going to do tight ends. So a lot of buys this week. So maybe a little bit abbreviated. I don't know. Who knows? We'll have to see. I saw that there was a stat that Mark Andrews hadn't gone over like 65 yards since week 6. Which is, honestly, it's pretty crazy when you think about it. Like, I'm not concerned long-term, right? I still think you go back to guys that sort of get to that elite level. It's a orders of magnitude different than finishing as, like, you know, tight end 4 or tight end 5, right? It's not a linear difference. Again, it has slowed down, so we'll see. I mean, he's at 13 points per game. That has fallen pretty precipitously. He was in a battle for tight end 1. He's no longer in that battle. He does have the second most catches on the season. That is behind only one TJ Hockenson. And again, he missed a game, so it's about the same number on a per-game basis as Hockenson. But yeah, I mean, this is a drop. I am interested in buying this on a rebound, right? I don't know if we can do that right now because a lot of trade deadlines have happened, but this is certainly a situation we're going to buy. It is still a top 2 tight end, right? I think I'm pretty comfortable with that, and I'm willing to sort of bet that profile going forward. So that's where we're at. Again, in this game, he goes 2 for 17. He's running all the routes too, right? He's targeted on 4 routes, 22. Total routes run. So this isn't like he's being phased out or anything. It just hasn't been as good. And I think with that offense, I think it's, you know, you're getting a changing quarterback as well, right? I mean, this is an offense we came into the season thinking like, all right, like what's the counter to doubling up on Andrews? Like there wasn't a ton of counter. And I think we're seeing some of that. So I'm a bit concerned here for like the ceiling this year, but long term, I feel fine about where he's at. By way of reference, just so I got it here, he's a 7th in PFF grade, which is really what his grade was like going back to 2020. So he's basically kind of been up and down. If you look at his PFF grade, for example, it's all stayed relatively close in terms of. Like, it really has stayed close in terms of, like, his yards per catch and all that stuff. Like, what you've seen is just the yards and routes run fluctuation, right? First year, 1.96. Second year, 2.68. Third year, 1.87. Fourth year, 2.18, which was the tight end 1 season. And then this year is back at 1.93. So, basically, if he's above 2, he's basically, you know, it's an elite season for him. And if he's below 2, it's a very good one, right? So, that's a really, really high floor, and really only with that type of floor can you really reach that level of ceiling. I'm still pretty confident in him long term. Just by way of reference as well, he has the 9th most routes. So if you're looking for a reason why, that's entering last week. So if you're looking for a reason why, or entering this week, I should say, that's not including Sunday's results. You know, if you're looking for a reason why he's being held down, right, it's probably part of it. Right? The fact that literally Kelsey's run 100 more routes than him, that adds up really quickly. So not super concerned about his production. This is really who he is. We need him to get back to the elite level of routes. And listen, they ran 61 plays in this game and only dropped back to pass 23 times. So, you know, I'm hopeful for some more volume here going forward. Buffalo, this is your annual, like, yearly Dawson Knox December breakout. Like, this happens, like, almost like clockwork. I remember I was at a Christmas party. I remember this like vividly because I was at a Christmas party and I was like, Dawson Knox. It was supposed to be his rookie season. And I was like, yeah, he'd never scored a touchdown like in college, and he'd scored a touchdown and it was like Christmas time. So, and I was like, oh, all right, like here's the breakout. And then like, it didn't happen. And then it was another December breakout. And it's like always been like this late last quarter of the season type of coming on for him. It does it in kind of flashy ways and then really doesn't back it up. You know, I've said for a while, I think he adds an element to this offense, right? I don't know if he's not healthy. I don't know if he's just – like, he hasn't really proven to be a difference-making player in his career. So, I don't know. I'm hopeful for this. He runs 31 routes on 33 dropbacks, which is good for the second most on the team, right behind Gabe Davis. Seven targets actually leads the team. So, that's very different than what he's been used as. Leads them in receiving this game. Again, some of that probably has to do with some of the matchup stuff in this game. But I'm encouraged – that he's not in the witness protection program anymore, but I'm not convinced that this is the new beginning. All right, Carolina, and I was watching the Carolina game, and I had it on just the red zone, and it was in. I don't watch a ton of Carolina stuff just because it's not too, you know, it's not super compelling, typically. But the game was on, and I spent a while like I wanted to see Darnold, and I want to see some of the stuff, and I just I turned to Ian Thomas, who I know statistically is horrible. And he literally caught two balls. And he caught two balls, he stumbled, and then he literally, like, it's in a tackling drill, like, takes the ball in, like, two arms and just literally, like, puts his head down and, like, plunges forward. And I was like, you've literally got nothing out of that. Like, that's almost 100% replacement level. And they paid him a lot of money. I still can't get over that contract. It's one of the worst contracts in the NFL. I don't understand it. He hasn't been good. And yeah, this is the most talk about the Carolina tight end, the position that we're going to do. Chicago on a bye. By the way, Arizona, Atlanta. Arizona was actually playing Monday night. I'm recording this. Actually, this is one of the earliest shows I've ever recorded. It's like 9:30 on Monday. Arizona's playing Monday Night Football, so obviously we don't have them. Atlanta on a bye. Chicago on a bye. Cincinnati, so no Hayden Hurst. What do we get? Mitchell Wilcox basically running 24 out of 38 routes. Again, remember, one of the edges here for Hayden Hurst has really been just going to run a ton of routes, right? That's kind of what his, you know, his superpower is, if you will. And he was up to the seventh most routes in the league, and he was actually just behind he's just behind Dawson Knox actually, and on a per route basis, like 0.2 of a yard better per route. Like, again, it's not great. He's at 1.13 yards per route run. Like, that's not anything you're gonna write home about, but that adds up, right? And that's kind of how you see, you know, the difference of these two guys. Like, they really kind of add up in terms of the routes. That's kind of what Hayden Hurst is. With Mitchell Wilcox in running only 24 routes and 38 dropbacks, you don't care. So that's really your takeaway from this. You're not starting Mitchell Wilcox. You're only starting Hayden Hurst from this offense. All right, Cleveland, and we got a David Njoku game. Pretty good David Njoku game. 7 for 59 and a touchdown. We're going to enjoy, I think, hopefully some of the splits that we see with him coming over the offseason when people discuss his splits about, with Watson and without him. I think we're going to be pretty encouraged by those, and I think we could see a volume boost here. By way of reference, he's still – it's interesting because he's still gettable, I think. And I don't know how realistic this is. We'll have to watch here going forward. But his value hasn't much changed this season. Keep trade cut basically had him kind of as in like tight end 15, 16, 17 range to start the season. He's up to tight end 11. I guess the question that I'd ask is like, how does he stand out? I think he stands out in a couple of ways. I think he's taken a major step forward on a per route basis. He's at 1.89 yards per route run. And when you sort of adjust that out, that's actually fifth amongst guys that qualify. So that's like the quote superpower, right? That's kind of the bad. What's interesting is like that's the bad Mark Andrews year. Like, that's kind of, again, you just think about how good Mark Andrews is. David Joker's having a really good season, and it's a bad Mark Andrews year. And Mark Andrews is actually still better than amount of yards per hour on basis. Like, just to give you an idea that how much different, like, the different level of order, you know, it's orders of magnitude different between these guys. And that's a good example of it. But, yeah, I mean, Joku has taken a step forward. This is going to be, like, it's got the makings of potentially being one of the most successful second tight end contracts for a first-round guy in 15 years, like, really since Vernon Davis. So that's encouraging. It is definitely encouraging, and I think he's going to – I'm just waiting to see sort of what he ends up this season. Again, in 10 games, he's tight end number 9 in season-long points. He's actually 5th in points per game. So, again, I think you're going to see some of the splits with him and Watson. It's going to be pretty encouraging. I pulled off a Waller for Joku deal straight up. I think it was right when Waller went out, and the person wasn't contending, and I said, I'll take the Joku stuff – like right now. And of course then he gets hurt, but I still feel comfortable about that. Like, I think Waller's uniquely situated from that area to hit from deep. I think both of those guys, like, if I was sort of, you know, sorting out the position, the tight end position, I would say it's all right, it's Andrews, it's Kelsey, it's Pitts. And then you kind of look, it's another tier. And in that other tier, I want guys that can basically do elite things. Right, so Freiermuth sort of fits in that. Goddard fits in that. Hockenson, again, he's in the hall of very good, but I don't think he can get all the way home because he can't get to the elite yards per, the points per route type production. But he runs a ton of routes, right? So that's, again, that has all the makings of tight end three to five, not tight end one or two. Goddard, Freiermuth can do those things. Kittle can do those things. Dulcich, right? Guys that I'm leaving out, Schultz, Cole, Komet. But then you start looking down, it's like Joku and Waller. And again, they're much cheaper, relative to the position. I like those swings. I really like those swings from deep there. So I think that's going to be a real area we're going to target in the offseason. Again, I could really see ourselves going top two tight ends, maybe top three tight ends. And then waiting until like 10 and then drafting like 3 of them, right? I that's historically been a pretty good strategy. I see it kind of setting up that way for us this year. We'll see if the market catches on to us. All right. Next up here, we've got Dallas, the aforementioned Dalton Schultz. And Dalton Schultz actually goes 6 for 87 in this game. So one of his better games in the season, 10 targets. That's encouraging. 36 routes. And 42 dropbacks. Again, you sort of look at him on the season. It's only 11 games, but 9.3 points per game. He's at tight end 10 overall in points. And then he is at tight end 10 overall in points per game. So, again, that's a range of the position that really blends in. And you got to be careful about investing in that range. And, his number of his production, for example, is 1.45 yards per route run, which, again, that can very much blend in. You're really at that point subject to enormous volume, which he doesn't have, or enormous touchdown variance, which, again, is, I think, very difficult to predict, and he doesn't have. So he has been better the past couple of years, but I still put him in the more aggregator range of the position than anything else. And, again, I think that at a high price is a terrible bet. Him and Komet are good examples of that. All right, next up we've got Denver, the aforementioned Greg Dulcich. I was looking at a trade. I was writing some stuff for AOD this year. I had an orphan that I can't even begin to describe how poorly it went. But I made like a series of good trades and actually hit on them too. And I did it like a trade piece that I'm going to include in AOD. And it's unbelievable how cheap Greg Dulcich was. I got him in the fourth round. I got him in the fourth round. It was a throw-in pick and a bigger deal. And, like, I just can't, you just take day two tight ends and you just take him and you take him and you take him and you take him and you take him. And he's a good example of that. Like, he fit the profile of a guy that, from a receiving perspective, can be really interesting, And I'm super excited about him. I'm super excited about where he's at. It slid a little bit, would be what I'd say, is at 1.48 yards per route run, but that's really on a success track for a rookie. Again, I think the offense, when you sort of adjust that for what the offense is, like, he's, I think, in a pretty good situation. It's kind of like the Freiermuth calculus there. Freiermuth's at 1.88 yards per route run, and he's in a pretty crummy offense. So both of those guys, I think, are going to be really, really interesting potential buy guys in the offseason, almost in a buy high type sense, but encouraged about Dulcich so far. I feel pretty comfortable putting him in lineups. All right, Green Bay off this week. We know what Robert Tonyan is. Houston, shout out to Chris Moore, who we'll talk about in the wide receiver show. Jordan Akins was a guy I thought that was projected decently for some production. Yeah, just again, there's a wide open job, basically. You know, hoop, there's going to be targets aplenty. You're going to probably throw the ball a ton because you're playing Dallas. You're going to be playing from behind. All of those presumptions weren't true. You know, they end up losing, but it's not kind of the way we thought it was going to be. They were winning for most of it, or, you know, in it for most of it. Akins goes 1 for 5 on 2 targets in this game. 21 routes, only 3 targets. Yeah, PFF has him for 3 targets. ESPN has him for 2. So, yeah, you know, Jordan Akins kind of blends in. He's actually been decent this year in terms of his yards per route run, which is wild, 1.80. So I'm, like, moderately encouraged by that. And, you know, as a round 3 guy, again, take day 2 tight ends and kind of be patient with him. I actually think that there's some – and I want to sort of figure out how to dive into this a little bit more. It'll probably be an off-season project. But when you kind of look at these guys, like, where to sort of get – like, that round 3, round 4, kind of year 4 type of year 5 type of range – it ends up becoming like it's kind of where Tyler Conklin's come from. It's where Akins has come from. Again, Akins hasn't been anything super difference making, but on a per route basis, has been decent. And when you look at him overall in the season, he is at he's at only 6.3 points per game. But again, it's been a bit better recently. So yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting where you can find some of these guys from, and I think kind of looking. You know, if we go back, and maybe in the offseason we go back to like the 2019, 2020 classes and sort of, you know, really try and think about where those guys are. I'm not sure like it's going to be necessarily predictive, but I think that that's a pattern that I've seen. I'm interested in exploring a bit more. All right, Indy off. By the way, OJ Howard ran one route, if you were curious on that tracker. Indy off this week. Evan Engram with a career game goes 11 for 162 and 2. That vaults him, if you were counting at home, that vaults him up to tight end 4 in season-long points with 131.8. Entering this week, by the way, he was 16 with 92.6. And those are just pure PPR points. So, again, taking the massive jump up, it's so funny, like what one – I mean, it's an enormous game, don't get me wrong. But it's so funny about how one huge game can make such a difference in terms of how you thought about it. Like, oh, top 5 tight end. Outside the top, you know, outside the top 15 to top 5. That's, you know, that says a lot about A, this performance, and B, the structure of the tight end position. So, again, lots of volume for him. Again, this is a high-volume player. It's just been a highly productive player. But again, he was 4th in tight end routes so far. Again, still, it's only 1.04 yards per route run on the season. You know, it's and actually, I don't think that includes this week yet. So PFF still hasn't updated their data this week. But that will, of course, see a jump. He was at, 162 on 35 routes. Yeah, that's going to jump him up pretty substantially. So, yeah, and we'll see. Like, honestly, that's going to put him kind of in line with where he was career-wise. Just check that really quick here for you. He has been at you know, his career average is 1.32. So this will put him, like, basically right about his career average, which actually comes back closer to where he's been in, like, his mid-Giants career, as opposed to really like the last couple of years, which were a disappointment. So, you know, we'll be interested to see sort of longer term what can come of Evan Engram. But this is the type of thing where you'll continue to see opportunities for him. And again, volume at tight end, it's unpredictable sort of when it'll come, when the production will come. But typically production follows volume. And this is a classic example of that. All right, next up here we've got Kansas City. Travis Kelce, 4 for 71. It's like a really good game for most tight ends. It feels like a down game for him. So, again, he's participating 36 out of 44 routes. Noah Gray, a little bit of work there, 20 routes. They've been working him in a little bit more. It's a different element. So I think that's interesting for him there. But yeah, encouraged with Kelce long-term. He's right up there at the top of the position in his efficiency stats, which is getting back to where he was sort of pre-last year. He kind of fell off a bit last year, but now he's back at it. All right, Gerald Everett kind of bumping back up a little bit closer to some more full usage. 38 routes on 56 dropbacks. Remember, that was something last week we sort of kept in mind to look at. Like, it's not – you want it more. It hasn't all the way been there. You want more of it. You know, hanging out kind of in that, like – in that range. I think he was like just below 60% last week. And you know, this week, going, just, you know, about 2/3 or so. So again, tracking up a bit, but you want more. Ultimately, he goes 5 for 28 in this game. So again, in a two PPR setting, you'll certainly take that. Not anything you're going to write home about in straight PPR. But again, this is the position. This is the tight end position. So be interested to see what the market does with him in the offseason. He is down at tight end 19. And again, it feels like that's going to be a pretty robust area of guys like, all right, we're just going to take a bunch of guys, you know, and just kind of sort it out later. He feels like one of those guys that's going to be kind of in that range. I'd much rather pay down at the position than pay up. All right, next up, you got the Rams and the exciting Thursday night football game. Listen, Tyler Heinicke, again, he's like the classic example of volume, right? Like, you don't need to see many bigger examples of it than Tyler Heinicke. Like, he's kind of the classic example of volume. Route volume is really important. He was running basically all of the routes at the beginning of the season. It was a steep decline. Now it's kind of tracked back to 32 out of 41 routes. Again, only targeted 3 times. So he's much more fallen off in terms of where his production's at. He's much more in the tight end too, a little bit more desperation type play than he is in the production type play. You know, in this new iteration of this offense. So a bit disappointing there. Vegas should get Darren Waller back this week is the report, so that's encouraging. We'll see what his practice reports looks like, but it looks like he is on track to play. This team had a shot, before they blew it, of playing in the playoffs. Like, I still think that they are – I think they're technically alive here. So it would make sense, like, to give them – you know, to give them a go, like, to really try and play this out. So we'll see if that's, you know, we'll see sort of how that goes. They play on Thursday night this week. Or they played on Thursday night last week, so they'll get a full week off. You know, look at that kind of mini bye there. And they are currently have only a 4% shot at making the playoffs, which would have been drastically different had they won this past week. So again, holding out hope probably, but I'm sure they would like to see some return on Waller. And his the investment that they made in him. Gesicki blanked again. 17 routes on 33 dropbacks, 2 targets, 0 receptions. He's going to be just a dirt cheap buy this offseason. And I wonder if, like, you get a little Hayden Hurst type contract for him. I wonder what if it on the spectrum of, like, Hayden Hurst to, like, that Jonnu Smith type spectrum down to Gerald Everett. Like, kind of what does that spectrum look like? Or, even on, like, O.J. Howard. Like, what's that spectrum look like for Mike Gesicki? I'd be pretty interested. All right, Minnesota, like I said, I mentioned T.J. Hockenson before, 40 of 45 routes, 8 targets. Again, this offense pretty consolidated. Nothing is changing here. He's the second leading receiver in terms of yardage, 77 on 6 catches, behind Justin Jefferson, who went thermonuclear in this game. He went 11 for 223. So, yeah, you know, this is kind of where Hockenson fits in, like up at the top of the position. Do you want to pay for that? Is a totally different question. The Patriots are in Monday Night Football, so we'll watch for that. The Saints are on a bye. The Giants here, Bellinger comes back and then he gets hurt. It was a rib injury that he suffered. He attempted to return but was ruled out after playing back in. According to PFF, played 100% of their offensive snaps in the first half, including running a route on 100% of the team's passes. He caught all three of his passes thrown his way for 19 yards on a respectable 17.6 target share. Again, I think he's a good. He's shown signs that he's a good pass catcher. The injuries have certainly been a problem. It's probably going to keep down his value. So we'll be interested. You know, we're sort of interested in that deeper tight end two range. It's a place we're going to be hitting on a lot, I would imagine. And he's going to be one of those guys that's going to sort of fit in that range for you. If it's not him, it's like Lawrence Cager, Nick Vinette are a couple of guys there. Vinette played in this game, basically played the Bellinger role when Bellinger was out. But Lawrence Cager was inactive. You know, and he's been filling a little bit more of that receiving role. I think it's probably an avoid situation generally. I don't think there's anyone that I feel comfortable like flexing into our lineups given where, given where that offense is at. All right, the Jets. So I had a big debate and discussion here about whether or not to cut Tyler Conklin heading into this game because I was trying to preserve some potential points equity on my team. He goes 5 for 28. So it doesn't burn me. I was worried that he would go, 9 for 47 and 2 and just, make me, instead of pick like 4 or 5, whatever I'm going to be, like make me pick 8. I'm like, great. He would have been worth trading. Would you trade 108 and Tyler Conklin for 104? Yes, you would. That was kind of like the calculus I was doing, but I capped him. And it ended up working out. I was probably being too super cute by trying to cut him. So I just said, we'll keep him and basically kind of whittle down the rest of my roster. So that way there wasn't any chance of getting really hindered by any of that type of production. And Tyler Conklin did me the favor there. So, again, on that tight end two landscape, he's flexible in your tight end premium leagues where you have a potential tight end flex type situation as well. All right, Philadelphia, Grant Calcaterra actually 2 for 24. The Jack Stoll experience has been an utter disappointment. He goes 2 for 20 in this game. Calcaterra actually goes 2 for 24 on 5 less targets. Five less routes. He draws 4 targets. Stoll ran 20 routes and had 2 targets. Calcaterra had 15 routes and had 4 targets. So really encouraging for Calcaterra as a guy that, kind of bounced around in college. Had some mini Mark Andrews to him early on, the injuries and everything. But I'd be interested to see if he can slot in as a tight end too. Almost like a cheaper version of Andrews, a lesser version of Goddard when it was Ertz and Goddard. So Goddard should be back for a stretch run, should be helpful, potentially flesh out some of our lineups here, especially if we're going to deal with some Russell Wilson stuff and some of the injury stuff. You could potentially, in some of your super flex leagues, you might get to a spot where you're like, I'm just going to play a tight end over a quarterback, right? In some of your premium leagues with some of the quarterbacks that we've been playing. And honestly, the quarterbacks that we've been in on have struggled a bit this year, unless you were at the super elite, like the Allen Mahomes, which is always sort of encouraged. But if you were in the Wilson Stafford, I actually think Wilson's been better. Stafford's obviously hurt. But you could have some depth at tight end and I think win a championship, even if you're sort of struggling a bit at quarterback too. So, I'm not ruling that out. Again, duplicative options into your lineups. Especially at premium positions where the scoring's premium and you can see some pretty good edges. So I like that quite a bit. Speaking of premium edges, Pat Freiermuth 3 for 33 and a touchdown. So really encouraged about him. Again, if we're picking profiles, I like his quite a bit. Really efficient, really productive, and not super expensive. So that's a pretty good combination of potential ones. And if Pickett potentially takes a step forward, again, he gets hurt in this game. But if he could take a step forward and this offense takes a 10, 20% jump going forward, there's Freiermuth, Andrews-type jump in his numbers. So pretty encouraged about that. Again, targeted 6 times on 20 routes. The only concern that I'd have is he only ran 20 routes on 35 dropbacks. Not sure what's going on with that. But they need to make it a priority to get him involved in the passing game going forward because he's a really, really dangerous weapon.
All right, George Kittle, 4 for 28. I saw on like the first drive there was some stuff where Purdy was like some schemed up stuff to Kittle, and I was like, yes. It was like the Jack Nicholson you know, meme of him, you know, doing the thing with the fingers, and he's like, yes. And you know, we'll take, I guess we'll take 4 for 28. It's 5 targets, 21 routes, 24 dropbacks. Again, lower passing game. Like, they just beat the snot out of the Bucs. Purdy only threw it 21 times. And was good, like 92 QBR, almost 93 QBR, 134 rating, you know, 8.8 yards per attempt. Again, so that's he's not the second coming or anything, but good player. Like, that was a good performance, I should say. So we'll see, you know, what the longevity of that is. But encouraged by where he's at, and you know, and maybe not necessarily going to fall on his face if you've got a guy like Kittle or something like that. Kittle's more blending in this year than he is standing out. I think it's a big thing. But again, Deebo Samuel's going to be hurt, so that's going to bump up Kittle's. That's going to make the pie maybe a little bit smaller, but bigger slices for people. And so I'm pretty encouraged about that for Kittle here for a stretch run. Noah Fant, targeted once, didn't catch it. Disley, targeted 3 times, didn't. He caught. He went 2 for 20, 42 routes, and between them, they were involved on 28 dropbacks. So 42 dropbacks, they ran a total of 28 routes. So pretty grim there for those two guys. Not super encouraged. I think Fant's a buy low into the offseason, but he's going to be a buy low in that sort of tight end 20 beyond type of range, I think, at this point. All right, next up, you got Tampa Bay, and they stink. You know, Detroit is one of those teams that like when you look at it, they I think are better, much more trustworthy than they are than Tampa is, and that would have been a complete like shock statement. Like, you know, Detroit's offense is going to be better than Tampa's offense. Like in, you know, April, that would have been this gaudy, you know, attention seeking type tweet. Now I think it's just true, you know, so it's interesting there where that's at. So when you look at the tight end position, 4 for 28 for Otten. Cameron Brate goes 2 for 12. So Otten actually runs more routes, 29 out of 56. You're not trusting the volume, but I think it's encouraging that he's involved. Again, less than a yard per route run, you're kind of like blah. But Brady has not been good. 4.6 yards per attempt this game. Just that's brutal. Tennessee, another Sugar Kongu sighting. That's good. 6 for 45 and a touchdown. It was a high profile sort of he was like flipping into the end zone type of thing. Really good. He's playing up there much more. Like him and Austin Hooper basically phased out Jeff Swaim. So 27 routes for Hooper. Hooper goes 5 for 68. Again, he's on that tight end 2 type radar now after kind of being pretty crummy earlier in the season. Okongwu, I don't trust him as much. I think Okongwu's like star could be like a shooting star type of profile. I think he could be really good, you know, and coming forward. But I don't know if I necessarily trust him right now. I feel like I trust the Hooper volume a little bit more than I trust the Sugar Kongwu. But if you like, if we see this a couple more games, like you could definitely convince me to start him in the playoffs if we continue to see this. They just don't have that good of a passing game when Burks is out. So, like, you're running out Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Robert Woods for 15 routes. Like, a guy like Okongwu being the sixth, being there with 6 targets is actually 3rd on the team. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's he's certainly an interesting player. He's on waivers in a couple spots where I snapped him up this week and pretty excited about it. All right, Washington's on a bye, and that's pretty much going to do it for your tight end roundup. So made it through here about 34 minutes. So we'll have running backs, wide receivers as well, and quarterbacks, your waiver stuff as well this week. So that'll do it for this edition. Till next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.